With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
In a week where the England white ball team left Australia with their tail between their legs and a World Cup in their hands, this is Can't Ball, Can't Throw.
What do you take from this series?
Yeah, we tried our best. We fell a long way short. I thought Australia outplayed us in every department, and all credit to them.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke. And did England play their best?
That was Joss Butler lying through his teeth. We tried our best, yeah?
Yeah. No, they were pretty apathetic. But then, to be fair, so were, like, the Australian team weren't that keen on playing, I don't think. Crowds were pretty apathetic. Couldn't even be bothered showing up. And that includes myself. I could have easily wandered down to the MCG. Couldn't be bothered.
Just well, we're saving up for the test series.
Exactly. And England, I think, was still half drunk from celebrating their World Cup win, certainly in the first game. Chris Wokes came on at one point and dived around in the field and knocked a ball into the rope, and I'm certain he was smashed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Butler later went on in the press conference afterwards to say he wasn't too fussed about the defeat, so which isn't really the usual response to a 3-0 whitewash against Australia and the biggest loss in their nation's history or their ODI history.
No, not usually. I mean, he couldn't even be bothered appealing at different times, could he? Was he even concentrating?
I don't think so.
What were the two? There were a couple of times he missed appealing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so he started the tour. So you would have thought he might have been more enthusiastic at the beginning of the tour, but that's where he didn't appeal for Matthew Wade obstructing the field. But he kind of capped it off. Maybe a good sense of bookending here by Steve Smith edged it through to him, and then he couldn't be bothered appealing for it and just kind of half-assedly raised his glove and then made a T sign, and the umpire had to, correct him, like prompt him for the appeal, like a 10-year-old suffering from stage fright in a school play. It was just like, come on, Josh, say your line. And Josh said, how's that? And I was like, all right, now he's out.
Now he's
out. You get it.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Okay, there's lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, and we only have time to decide what was the silliest white ball series of the last month or so.
Yes. So I think we're going to tally up the silly highlights of both this Australia v England ODI series and the World Cup, and we'll see which one was sillier. So this is essentially
Your podcast.
This is my other podcast, yeah. And it's basically an extended muller for those two series as well. Just lots of muller content to get through, so we might as well do it with these. So.
Otherwise we could have an entire podcast which is just made up of mullers, right?
Yes, I think so.
No, we have an exciting segment. I think Jail Time might be back later on in this podcast.
Maybe.
Stand
Stay
by,
tuned,
everyone.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So I think the first one we in the ODI series, they kicked off quite nicely. BT Sports over in England, who had the rights, they were publicising the series by claiming that it was a chance for viewers to watch the best white ball team in history, which was very exciting. So kind of at first I thought maybe they were going to be showing replays of the Australian side of the early 20th century or the 1980s West Indies, one of those sides, but apparently not. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is why other nations shouldn't let England win any World Cups. They get way too carried away.
They do.
We know that they get carried away in both directions.
Yes. So,
if they do poorly, then it's the worst performance of all time. Yeah. Maybe it's the best white ball team in recent history if we all had dementia.
Well, they're not even the best Matthew Mott coached white ball side to win a World Cup this year. So they did get a little bit carried away.
Yeah.
So what's the next moment?
Okay, well, that's pretty good for the ODI series, but in the World Cup, we had this most bizarre, it's almost impossible to explain.
It's very hard to explain.
We had an appearance of someone called Pak Bean, who was, this was a simmering, previously completely unknown controversy that erupted on social media. And the day before the Zimbabwe-Pakistan match, there was some kind of grudge in the background. And a Zimbabwe guy on Twitter tweeted, "As Zimbabweans, we won't forgive you. You once gave us that fraud, Pak Bean, instead of Mr. Bean Rowan. We will settle the matter tomorrow. Just pray the rain doesn't save you." And then there was just all sorts of investigation and interrogation. Anyway, it turned out the incident was something to do with a Mr. Bean impersonator from Pakistan, which is a legitimate job, I think.
I guess so.
Showing up to some kind of Zimbabwe agricultural show. I'm not sure it was a big event. Anyway, instead of the real Mr. Bean, they got the fake Mr. Bean. I really don't know if one's worse than the other. No. Anyway, it's very hard to explain. But Zimbabwe then beat Pakistan by one run, which
gained vengeance.
They really did. Anyway, knocked Pakistan out of the tournament, of course, until South Africa brought them back into the tournament.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were calling at one point, I think, for the 12th man for the final match to be the real Bean in the Pak Bean, right?
Yeah, that would have been perfect. How much would have cost? It wouldn't have cost anything to get Pak Bean out there. I think he would have been keen to come. He would have paid his own airfare probably.
Well,
we probably wouldn't have had to pay that much to get Rowan Atkinson either.
No, we've got some Mr. Bean masks down in our dress-up box.
We
could have gone along to one of the matches wearing the Pak Bean mask.
We should have.
That would have been exciting to do for the World Cup final.
Yep.
Missed opportunity.
Maybe next World Cup final.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go on to the back to the ODI series. I kind of like this one. This one was how basically not just the apathy of the players and the teams, the captains themselves couldn't be bothered. So neither captain could be bothered playing the second ODI. Both Joss Butler and Pat Cummins decided to have a rest. I think somebody suggested at one point that maybe they were off playing golf together.
That's dangerous. Pat Cummins is way too risk averse to be playing golf at a time when everyone who plays golf apparently breaks their leg.
Yep. So Josh Hazlewood captained Australia in that second match and then kind of thrillingly became the only captain to back up in the entire series. He was the only one to play after he captained. So he also played in the third match. But then Moeen Ali, who also captained England in the second match, he eventually got to share that record with Josh Hazlewood because Phil Salt knocked himself out chasing a meaningless four that I think Travis Head smashed to the boundary.
Yeah, so we had lots of alternate captains.
Yep. Leadership's overrated. Chuck whoever you want in there. That's why they're going to unban David Warner. What's the matter?
Let him have a go. Yeah, exactly. I think you mentioned never said which lifetime the ban applied to.
Yeah.
Could have been the Queen of England.
The Queen, yeah. I think it's the Queen.
Anyway, next up I have one for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And everyone was panicking throughout most of the World Cup, actually, but there was predicted weather all throughout Australia of lots of rain, and the final was predicted to just be complete and utter
rain.
100% rain. There was no requirements, and the reserve day also 100% rain. And then in the end, it was actually a really dry, beautiful, warm evening. I think we had t-shirts out at some point. No jumpers.
Yep.
So it was a wonderful night at the MCG.
Yeah, no rain, no delay. Full match was played. There were a few times where England looked likely to be knocked out by rain. I think there was one game where in Brisbane where if they were playing, I can't remember who they were playing now, but they needed to win it to get through to the next stage and it was scheduled to rain all day and then it didn't rain there either.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it ever rains in Australia.
I think the men's team have more control over the rain than the women's team.
Yeah, very possibly. Mm. All right, well, let's flip back to the ODI series again. So this was another moment. This was in the first ODI. Ashton Agar saved a six with one of the most spectacular boundary leaps that's ever been seen. And he kind of leapt up and somehow spun his arm back and he was like 45 degrees, basically tumbling into the fence.
Mm.
And he still somehow managed to swivel his arm around and fling the ball back in a split second before he hit the ground. And people were saying it broke the laws of physics. It didn't quite break the laws of physics, but it was certainly against the spirit of physics.
I think you're right there. And there also needs to be some way that we can measure these stats now because everyone's leaping into the air. I mean, Ben Stokes does it on the reg. You know, people just leap at all moments. We know Glenn Maxwell. Maybe they need a cumulative total of the number of meters or centimeters or feet or something that they leap throughout their career. That would be quite useful.
Yep, definitely.
So I'll go into now, back into the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Matthew Mott before. England and Matthew Mott promised to pressure the ICC to provide winners' medals for a bunch of people who apparently didn't even participate. I mean, they don't even deserve a participation award. I don't know what kind of medal they're going to get. That was like Rhys Topley and Johnny Bairstow. They both missed out on the T20 World Cup along with
literally tens of millions of English people.
So it's really should every England player who's ever played T20 cricket get a participation medal?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd even limit it to everyone who's played T20 cricket. Let the Test players, let Alan Lamb and let Beefy Botham get a T20. He's earned it. Lord Botham, whatever he is now.
Yeah.
King, is he king yet? He's probably next in line.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if they've played in recent history, which seems to be perhaps just the last couple of months, but still, we'll give it to those people.
Yeah. All right, so back to the ODIs. In the third ODI, this is Adam Zampa got an LBW decision, which was overturned because out of nowhere, the ball tracking software showed that Zampa had apparently turned into Shane Warne. I think he was bowling from the Shane Warne end, and the ball tracking software decided that despite Adam Zampa not being a huge spinner of the ball, this particular delivery was going to just rip, which kind of surprised the entire Australian team who were in a huddle and they'd seen that, you know, no mark on hotspot, no mark on Snicko. Oh, hit him pretty much out in front. He's definitely out. And then at missing turned well beyond off stump. So but because they were so far ahead and it was such an unexpected result, the response was just bursting into laughter. But I think my favourite part was umpire Paul Rifle, who was also caught on camera having a bit of a chuckle about the ball tracking software, but then recovered to say, "Oh no, that's why I gave it not out."
Yeah, good decision, Paul.
Good decision,
Rifle.
I'm
always surprised by these tributes to Shane Warne. They always take me by surprise.
Yep.
Is this a haunting incident?
Oh, possibly.
Or
yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's too soon. Perfectly
too soon?
Timed. Yeah.
Yeah.
If Shane Warne's going to be anywhere, it's in the ball tracking software.
Oh yeah.
Into interrupting it and making it do strange things.
Not in Adam Zampa or the ball, but just the ball tracking software.
Yeah.
And I feel like we might get a few little strange things said on microphones as well. That could be a good way of haunting.
Yes, definitely.
Come on, Shane Warne. Anyway, more World Cup antics here. We had an India-Pakistan match, which is also, you know, obviously always going to be the greatest T20 match ever played.
Yep.
Every time they play. And there were a lot of silly moments. We could have probably nominated this match itself rather than the entire series. But just as one example, Virat Kohli got three match-turning byes by being bowled off a free hit from a no ball.
Yep.
And the no ball was based on a height that he had somehow judged and told the umpire that this was too high after he hit the ball for six.
Yep. So that was just one aspect of that game, which was
crazy.
Easily the best game of the entire tournament.
Oh, yes.
It was a fantastic match. And a very silly match. So I think overall, does that make the World Cup sillier than the ODI series? It's pretty close.
I think the World Cup's sillier.
Yeah, I think so. Congratulations to the World Cup.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so speaking of World Cups and silliness, I have a new book out. It's in bookstores everywhere. It's called The 10 Greatest World Cup Wins in Australian Cricket. And And as the title suggests, I'm counting down Australia's 10 best World Cup campaigns. This current one, not in the book.
It's a bit of a troll of the current Australian team though, right?
It is.
I hope all of the current Australian team get this book for Christmas.
I'll send it to each and every one of them and say, you guys aren't in this book, although some of them probably are.
Happy birthday.
If they played in last year's World Cup, spoiler, they might have been in this one.
Happy birthday, Pat Cummins.
Yep.
Here's a book about World Cups that, well, not this year's World Cup.
Yeah. Anyway, this book's pretty much mostly just for Australian fans because it is a little bit just kind of celebrating Australia winning all the World Cups. You know, they've won more than 20 in total, including various, you know, Champions Trophies and T20 and ODI World Cups. The women, of course, supply a good proportion of them, and they're represented well in the book as well. Their Commonwealth Games win isn't included.
Not yet.
Not yet, because that came about after the book went to print. And as confident as I am in their abilities, I wasn't quite confident enough to chalk that one up as a win before it actually happened.
I must say, you say this is a book mainly for Australians, but I think it would be hilarious if you have an English friend.
Definitely, yes.
To get them this book for Christmas.
Yes.
It'd be the most fantastic thing ever.
Yep.
And, you know, and if you really want to, you could probably get Dan to sign it with something like, you know, knowing how much of a fan you are of Australia, I got you this book about Australia's World Cup wins.
Yeah. Or I'm happy to sign, knowing how much a fan you are of World Cup victories, here's one that you'll no doubt enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a book all about World Cup wins that doesn't have the latest England win. Yeah. What a wonderful book that would be.
Yes.
What a wonderful gift that would be.
Anyway, you can get a copy. You can get it from my online store, leavecricket.com/store. I'll sign them for you. Or you can just search anywhere, pop into any bookstore. Grab a copy and get the rundown on all the best Australian World Cup victories.
Dan won't be in the bookstores signing, not in every bookstore anyway, but so if you need to go to his website if you want one that is signed.
Yeah.
Secure them jail time.
You do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time.
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
I feel like that last one is actually Justin Langer.
That's very
talking
menacing,
to
isn't
someone,
it?
Yeah, leaning across the table to some poor journalist that's done something he doesn't like.
Yes. Well, every time we think this segment has retired and will never appear again, Justin Langer pops his head back up and says something in the media, and we've got to bring it back to life. And
he doesn't like being out of our podcast. He's continually creating more content just so that he can come back into this dedicated segment.
Yeah. So what's he popped his head up again to complain about this time?
Same thing as usual. he's been complaining about this for at least a year. The fact that he's no longer coach of the Australian cricket team, and how unfair that was. He got to be coach for quite some time, but then he was ousted by some of the players, and he's called them cowards again.
So he's in particular, he's not happy with Pat Cummins and Aaron Finch. He says apparently the pair of them weren't brave enough to tell him to his face that he was being a dickhead or something. So he's upset the fact that they, you know, were a little bit hesitant about confronting this very angry man and saying, can you be a little bit less angry all the time?
Yeah, don't be such a dick. I fail to believe they didn't actually tell him to his face. They possibly did.
Yeah. Oh, I'm certain if they did, went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe the players find this chilled out dude exhausting and difficult to deal with, right?
Yeah. He's really proving how easy he is in this post-cricket coaching period. Good luck to the commentary teams that are taking him on, right? Who's that, Channel 7?
Channel 7, I think, have got him. So, maybe this is just an advertising campaign for the fact that he's going to be on there. The players have already sought reassurances that they won't have to speak to him. You know, that the drones come down and they have chats with them. So
imagine how much fun that would be, though, but it might distract them a little bit. Would jail care? No, he wouldn't care about that. I feel like this is just wonderful for us. We can have an ongoing JL time segment throughout the summer season.
Which the cricket, the test season is about to start. The first test is against the West Indies. That starts this Wednesday. It is in Perth, which without getting too, you know, being too general about it, it's probably where Langer still has the most support. So that'll be a little bit of fun, I think, to see what happens there.
That will be hilarious. That will be fantastic to see.
I can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
This is the Muller Award that we usually give out. This is for underappreciated acts in cricket. We appreciate them.
Yeah.
Named after Scott Muller.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Warne making another appearance in our podcast.
Yep.
I don't think he's haunting it, but he's making an appearance.
Yep.
And what have we got nominated? We've got a few nominations here.
Well, perhaps most fittingly, we've got the nomination of Six and Out. They're back. The ABC Sport, Brett Lee popped up there and he confirmed that he and his brother Shane are touring again with their band Six and Out.
That's petrifying. Is this really true?
It's very true, yep. So it's very exciting. So if you want to hear our theme song performed live, start Googling for when the band is touring near you. I assume it's a worldwide tour, so they'll pop up in your city soon.
Do they have another song or do they just do that song
over? I think they just do that one song over and over. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our first nomination. What else have we got?
Our second nomination, as may be expected, we have Glenn Maxwell. But unfortunately, not nominated for cricket things. He's nominated because he's out for 3 months. He broke his leg in a freak accident. He was at a friend's 50th on a Saturday night and he broke his leg. His friend fell on top of him.
Yeah.
And it was non-drunken incident.
Very non-drunken. They're very keen to say that it was very sober.
Yeah.
It was just a normal sober falling over and breaking of the leg.
Yeah. So. I feel like, you know, if you're drunk, you're less likely to break the leg,
That's
right?
That's true. Yeah. Anyway, I think the thing that most concerns me is that if Glenn was a friend of mine, this wouldn't have happened because my 50th birthday party was cancelled due to being the first day of the 2021 Melbourne lockdown. So, you know, Glenn, I'm sorry. You should just be my friend.
Yeah, you need better friends, Glenn. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
I've got another nomination here. So this is this one takes place in List A cricket, which is basically first-class cricket equivalent of ODIs. So it's 50-over cricket standard, non-international standard.
And this is in India?
This is in India, yeah. So we had the first side score more than 500 from their 50 overs. This was in the match between Tamil Nadu and Arunachal Pradesh. Tamil Nadu scored 2 for 506 from their 50 overs. So there were several highlights in this innings, as you might expect. There was a quadruple century partnership.
Oh my God.
Between Sai Sudarsan and N. Jagadeesan. Jagadeesan scored a record 277. And then they followed up this kind of massive innings by bowling out Arunachal Pradesh for 71.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is a decent boost to their net run rate, which we learnt during the World Cup is very important. Always got to keep an eye on your net run rate.
Up high on the ladder there.
Yeah, so I think the Muller nomination for this particular incident has to go to the Arunachal Pradesh captain who won the toss and sent Tamil Nadu in.
Oh, yes. Thinking, so we'll get these.
We'll knock them over cheaply.
Knock them over cheaply and then we can chase.
Yeah. There's another sneaky highlight of this. This one's a little bit disappointing because Mick Lewis's record most expensive bowling figures of none for 113, which came about in that famous game when South Africa chased down Australia's 430. That was finally broken. That stood since whenever it was, 2004, 2005. And it's finally crashed. So none for 114. One extra run. It's now the record for the most expensive List A bowling figures. Yeah. Although Mick still has the ODI record. So
fair enough. Well, Mick would be happy with this stat if he's listening.
Yes.
I have another Muller nomination. England are about to tour Pakistan, apparently.
Yep.
And Jofra Archer is back.
Yes,
from
he
whatever
is. Very exciting.
Kept him away from cricket for a while.
Various injuries.
Zach Crawley's been talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
They like talking about each other in their various presses. And he said, they say you can add 3 miles an hour to the 90 miles an hour on the speed gun. So he's bowling good pace. He always bowls quick, Joff.
Yes.
So.
Why can they all add 3 miles per hour to the actual number that's on the screen?
Speed gun. Is this just a calibration thing that they just think he deserves an extra 3 kilometers?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's very strange. I don't understand why if this is a known fact that it's always 3 miles per hour slower, then just recalibrate the machines, get them sorted out. But if it's not, I mean, maybe they just tell Zach Crawley this because, maybe it's to encourage him. Oh, you know, that bowler says he was only bowling at, you know, 70 miles per hour, but those speed guns, you're always at least 330, maybe it was 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Who knows, Zach?
Maybe it's like when you speed on the road, or you're not supposed to speed on the road and you get calibrated down, but you're still over the limit. That could be what's happening here.
Yeah. The other highlight of this Pakistan tour is that England is apparently being joined by a chef for that tour, and there was a bit of press saying that was the first time that it happened, which is, of course, shameful Sir Alastair Cook erasure.
And we have one more nomination. It's a bit annoying, isn't it, that the WBBL has been kind of overshadowed by men's cricket.
Yes, very annoying. Mm. Well, ordinarily, we'd have been watching, maybe not every game, but a good chunk of them.
Mm. And instead, we could have still been watching a good chunk of them, but there was a lot of cricket on.
There was a lot of cricket on. And if taking place simultaneously with the T20 World Cup, which kind of...
In freezing weather in Australia.
In freezing weather, yeah. So, yeah, very, very dumb to have those two things coincide. I think you could have scheduled the WBBL some other time.
And now the final clashes with the Australian election. The Victorian election.
Yep. The finals this Saturday, which the Sixers will win, because the Sixers have won apparently everything this year.
So. Now that would be exciting if they somehow lost.
Mm, yeah. Anyway, we'll see. Oh, well. All right. So who gets the muller this week, do you reckon?
Who gets the muller? I feel like we need to give it to Brett Lee.
I think six and out. Yeah, I think the return of six and out is a good muller winner. So congratulations to six and out. Yeah. Welcome back, guys. Anytime you want to record a live podcast with us and just play us in and play us out, that would be appreciated. Anyway, you've been listening to Dan Libke and Kat Jones. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Elon Musk's Twitter.
And are you at Lieb Cricket on Mastodon?
I am. I'm at Lieb Cricket at oz.social on Mastodon for now.
Oh my
anyway.
God, do you have to give their full address?
I think so, yeah.
I'm Kat Jones. I'm at CricketBatCat on Twitter, if Twitter still exists. And I'm also on Mastodon. I'm at CricketBatCat. I have no idea which domain I'm in.
There can't be many of them, surely. Anyway, if you can't be bothered with that, follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter, or search for us on Facebook and like us there. Just search for Can't Bowl Can't Throw, and we will see you all next week.
Social Podcast Network.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.